God bless you, saints. Good morning. Y'all may be seated. I guess I'll preach with this one. Or would that be better? Okay. I'm not kind to microphones, okay? Praise the Lord. Good to be with you this morning. And Sister Joyce and I want to extend special sympathy and condolences to the Browning family. Brother Browning was a great, great warrior of the faith, a real man of God that could sink his teeth down in the Word and tell you something. And you didn't have a problem believing it. Men like Brother Browning were the first generation that rose up right after Brother Branham passed away. And men like that were starting message churches. Because if you could remember, if anybody can remember, I'm sure you can, Brother and Sister Horner, when Brother Branham passed away, it wasn't too many message churches around. Perry Green's had just started in Arizona. There was a Tabernacle. There was Junior Jackson's. There was Brother Palmer's down in Georgia, even if he had a church then, I'm not sure. But it was very few message churches. I believe Bill Bedaris's was just starting in 1964. And he was part of a group of ministers, Brother Browning was, that began starting the process of message churches. And that's a clue right there, because ministries such as his paved the way for ministries like mine and Brother Jerry's. I thank him for that. Also, I found out this past week, Brother Dale Potter passed away. We all remember Brother Potter. He was a great friend of mine. Sister Shirley Jones, I really didn't know her that personally, but she was down in Brother Carroll's church. And then we extend a special sympathy to the Moran family this morning. But, you know, those that were ready to go, saints of God, their lives were sheltered in the arms of our Lord. They're better off than we are. We're left here to struggle. We're left here to press on. We're left here to overcome. Their overcoming ended because where they are now, they don't have to overcome. It's so wonderful. Thought I'd sing a song or two this morning.
Been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, he lifts me up again. When I get weary from the struggle of it all, I listen, oh, I listen for his call. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately heaven's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this old world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. It's so hard to lose a loved one to the grave. But what we had, the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God will wipe all the tears from our eyes when we meet him. Oh, we meet him in the sky. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately heaven's always on my mind. Someday we're gonna leave this old world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. So hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God will wipe all the tears from our eyes when we meet him in the sky. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately heaven's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this old world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately heaven's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this old world behind. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Praise the Lord. You hear heaven's call this morning. Amen. I can feel the hand of Satan as the tempter press me sore. He has been before the Father, asking please to press me more. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. For I know that he still liveth, 'cause I feel him in my soul. And though I will not stagger by his grace, I'm gonna make it through. For his grace is all sufficient, and I know my God is true. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. I know that he still liveth, 'cause I feel him in my soul. Though I look all around me and his face I could not see, but I know that through the ladder, and behold, thus even me. Slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold. Then I know that he still liveth, 'cause I feel him in my soul. Slay me, yet I'll trust him, and I shall come forth as gold, for I know that he still liveth, 'cause I feel him in my soul. Praise the Lord.
I'm falling in love.
thing I ever done. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I ever done. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Amen. There's no love like Jesus, saints of God. I want to tell you, the world, whoever, whatever, cannot love you like the Lord Jesus can. Amen. This is what we need, His love so much. Amen. Good to be with you this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles while we're standing. St. John, the 16th chapter, 32. Keep your Bibles handy. We want to go there this morning. Saints, we're in an hour right now where I believe this quote of the prophet has come true. Brother Branham told us the last plague to hit the church is spiritual death before the great exodus. Now, we're in the third exodus. There was a first exodus. There was a second exodus. We're in the third exodus. But the last thing to hit the church is spiritual death. Well, does that mean I'm going to go to the grave and die? I'm going to have to go in the funeral home and all? No, we're not. We're talking about spiritual death. And the only place where spiritual death cannot strike you is if you're in the Word and the love of the Lord Jesus. That's the only place. Otherwise, it will get you. It will get you. Oh, Brother Bo, I do this, I do it. That's fine. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, spiritual death will strike you if you're not buried in the revealed Word of God for this hour. And if you're not, I'm just not saying I love the Lord. Everybody says that. In love with the Lord. There's a big difference loving Jesus and in love with Jesus. See, you can love somebody. And I've told you this before. Every one of you sisters here, I love you. But I cannot love you like I love my wife. I'm in love with her. I cannot be in love with you sisters. Amen. That would be against the scriptures. I'd be committing adultery against my wife. But that's the way God is. See, we want to be in love with God. Not just love God, but be in love with God. Amen. Let us read this morning to help us. St. John 16:32. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered everywhere, or every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And every member of the bride has to do likewise. Now, while we're still standing here before we pray, what does being saved mean? I'm going to take a different little approach this morning. Being saved means you're saved from hell. It means you won't have to pay the penalty of your sins because you're saved. And what is the penalty for sin? Hell. Hell is. I know it's not preached much anymore, even around the message, it's not preached. People, preachers say now, well, you just may not go to heaven, that's all. See, we water it down. And no, but what actually sends you to hell? Yourself. We want to blame this one. You know, we live in an hour where everybody's blaming everybody, especially our political scene right now. They're blaming this one and that one because Hillary lost the election and this and that and the other, and she's blaming everybody and all this and all that and all that. But we sometimes do the same thing. We blame this and that or the other. But really, really, who causes you to do what you do? So my sermon this morning is being saved from yourself.
Let's pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your glory and presence come upon this word this morning. Lord, as we sang your presence, Lord, we sang into your presence this morning with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, may your word come with the rhema of it, Lord. May it just penetrate. May it open our hearts up. May it quicken our lives this morning. May it open up our understanding. We ask these things so wonderfully, Lord. I just don't do it in a name to say a name. But Lord, when I say the name of Jesus, Lord, all heaven's gates open. Lord, every redemptive promise that's identified with that name, I want it to be in my presence this morning. Lord, I asked you, may your glory be upon this. May it be in every heart this morning. May your glory touch every soul visited here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all the church says, amen. Amen. Being saved from yourself this morning. Y'all may be seated. 1 John, if you could turn with me. We've got a little bit of reading to do this morning, but here we read in St. John. Now we're going to go to 1 John, the same writer. 1 John 5, verse 2. 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and commandments are not grievous. Notice that commandments are not grievous. Now, saints of God, let's put your finger right there, because we're going to go back and visit this in just a minute. I told the church a couple weeks ago, this is the difference between a Holy Ghost-filled message believer as opposed to a message believer that doesn't have the Holy Ghost. A message believer that has the Holy Ghost says it like this: I don't want to cut my hair. I don't want to be identified with the world. I don't want to wear pants. I don't want to. It's not in my heart to do so. I want to please the Lord Jesus, because I am now a believer and I'm identified by his revealed word in the hour. Now, this is a message believer that's struggling, that doesn't have the Holy. Well, I go to a church and they believe where the women can't wear pants and the women can't cut their hair, and you know, I gotta go, and I gotta wear a dress. I can't wear pants no more. I gotta wear dresses, and I can't trim my hair no more. Commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. See, when you ain't got the Holy Ghost, things are going to be grievous to you. Grievous. See, when you got it, you don't want to do it, saints of God. You don't want to be identified by worldly things. Amen. You want to be identified by the Lord Jesus. Amen. His holiness has now become your holiness. But see, when you're a struggling Christian, and believe me, this is the hour where people are so many people are struggling because they never had the Holy Ghost to begin with. And they struggle with it. You know, this is why we're living in such an hour where there's such a laxity of going to church. I've come to the conclusion, saints of God, it's everywhere. We just went on a 2,500 mile trip, Sister Joyce and I, last week. And, you know, everywhere it's the same thing. Everywhere. People want to come to church on Sunday and go out to eat. Yeah. Nothing wrong going out to eat. Amen. You sisters don't have to cook dinner or something like that. But it's the name game. There's, you know, the midweek service is way down. People don't show up. If you have a Saturday night service, or if a church has a Sunday night service, people just don't want to go to church. They want to come on Sunday and go out to eat. And you know, saints, it's we've got so much going on. We've got this going on. We got ball practice. We got this going on. We got tennis practice. We got this going on. 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 We got ballet lessons. We got this going on. We got this going on. We got computer lessons. We got this one. We got this workshop. That's not pleasing the Lord Jesus, saints of God. Woo! Am I hitting home this morning? Amen. You know, they got this new doctrine out in the message now, and it goes like this. The deeper the church gets in the word, the deeper the preacher goes in the word, the more men he has come in to preach that are deep and so deep and so deep, the quieter the congregation gets. Y'all quiet this morning? Y'all must be really deep. Because when you're so deep, you're just so filled that you can't say amen no more. You don't want to clap your hands no more. You don't want to put your hands up and praise the Lord because you're so deep. And you're so weighed down with revelation. I call that backslidden. That's what I call it. And I call men that would come in and preach something like backslid preachers. And then we got this doctrine coming on. It's out there. It says that you raise your kids, you know, you raise your kids are your kids. But if they're predestinated, God will get them. So you let them do anything they want. Let them do anything they want. Get them all pierced up. Get them shorts, everything. You know, wear the shorts up to here now, not down to here. They wear them up to here now. And just let them do anything they want. Because if they're seed of God, God will get them. Well, that's true if they're seed of God. But wait a minute. Regardless if they are, regardless if they are not, we as parents and grandparents still have a responsibility to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord, saints of God. That is scripture. Number one, King Solomon said in the Old Testament, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart. Amen. And then Paul tells us, children, be obedient, not disobedient to your parents. Amen. Hallelujah. And the church says. Amen. So, you know, stuff like this is creeping in all around us, saints of God. This is why men of God are very, you know, touch and go situations right now. You'd be surprised out there on the field. Amen. Everything's in a political angle with everything. But here we are. Commandments of God are not grievous. Well, you know, we go dancing we go clubbing. And we can't go clubbing no more. We got to go to church. And church we go to doesn't believe in stuff like that. Well, this is what you got to be saved from, yourself. Don't blame things on each other. Don't blame things on your pastor. And don't blame things. Listen, you adults now, listen. Don't blame things on your mother and father. Don't blame things on your grandparent. Well, grandma was like this, grandpa was like this, and I'm like this, and my mama was like this, and my mama was short fuse and hot temper. Mama had a long tongue this long, and I got one too. Saints, you got to be saved from yourself. You got to be saved from your, don't blame each other. You're the one that makes the difference. Well, Brother Bo, I've been gotten lemons all my life. Turn your lemons into lemonade. Life has dished out the worst to me. You ain't the only one. Amen. You ain't the only one. Turn your sour lemons into lemonade. Lemonade is so refreshing on a hot summer day like today with ice in it. And even if you put a nice cherry or something in it, or a strawberry in it with a nice long straw, and you sip on it, oh my, it quenches your thirst so much more. You're the one that has to make the difference, not Brother Jerry, not me, not anyone, not your mama, daddy, not your brother or sister, not your first, second, third cousin. You're the one that has to be saved from yourself. You send your own self to hell. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Born of God is born again, not may overcome the world, or should overcome the world, or could overcome the world. He overcomes the world, period. You're born of God, amen. You're a seed of God. You're an elect of God that's really, truly, truly, truly born again. Not just reformed. Justification and sanctification is a reformation. The true baptism of the Holy Ghost is your new birth. But when you're born of God, amen, you will overcome. You shall overcome. Not may overcome, or I'll think I'll overcome and I'll try to overcome. You will overcome. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, truly, I believe I brought this out in April when I was here on preventing you. I took a series on he is able to keep you from falling, because we're in this hour. Many are falling. The Bible said so. Some shall depart from the faith. The love of the truth has gone out of people. Amen. They still got the truth because they know the truth. But the love of it is gone. See, you can take any child that's raised in the message that has a computer in the house with the message on it. And they've been raised in a message church all their life. They can go. I know my kids used to do it when they were all at home. And they could go to a computer and pull up anything Brother Branham said and pull a quote out. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. But guess what? Amen. That doesn't give, a computer does not give you the Holy Ghost. It does not baptize you with the Holy, it does not seal your soul for your eternal destination. Now, here we are. It says here, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, when Jesus met Peter, and we saw the scenario, and Peter said to him, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll go with you. And Jesus said, look, the cock will crow thrice and you'll deny me three times. And with all of that, and then he said, Peter, I'll pray for you. Now, faith, he said, I pray for your faith. I'm interpreting it now, that your faith holds you. Because this is what it's saying here, even our faith. Now, faith is a revelation, Brother Branham tells us. Our faith holds us. And Brother Branham explains this because faith is the strong man of the house. Amen. When a house is swept clean and garnished. Notice now, it's got to have the strong man there so that when buku demons come back, amen, the strong man is in the house. Amen. Do you realize the first thing the devil wants to do is get the strong man of the house? That's why he works on the ministry so much harder than he probably works on you. Amen. A minister has more trials, temptations, more adversaries, more of this, more people giving him up and things like that than any other. Why? Satan wants to get the strong man of the house, because scripture tells us, and Satan knows, that if he can get the strong man of the house, the people will scatter. And what do? When you scatter, you're deciding, well, what should I do? Can I drive this church? It's too far. It's 3 hours away, 2 hours away. Should we just maybe meet in a home, or should we end up just press and play? We don't know what to do. Well, you, that's what happens. Amen. This is why you got to be in prayer, saints of God, for a man of God nowadays. Amen. Constantly praying for the ministry. Amen. Because they're under attack all the time. But notice now, faith is the strong man of the house, because faith, amen, is identified with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when the Holy Ghost is there, even our faith, you're going to be the overcomer. Hallelujah. Now notice now, verse 5. Who is that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. That you just don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God from a natural point or a historical. Well, you know, Christmas comes around, the Son of God was born in a manger, and there was Mary and Joseph, and, you know, Easter comes around, Good Friday. Well, the Lord Jesus was crucified on a cross, and my, it must have been terrible. But, you know, you believe it that way. That's true. All that's fine and good. But notice now, it's deeper than that. Amen. Well, how deep does it go? Deep enough to keep you. Amen. Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, the Logos, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, not in one. See, saints, the scripture plainly tells us these three are one, not in one or not in two, but these three are one. Are means they're equal to one. They are the same thing. Now notice now, verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the water, or the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, Brother Branham interpreted that as the new birth. Amen. First comes water, then comes blood, then comes the Holy Spirit. Justification, water, sanctification, blood. Amen. And then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is Spirit. Amen. Now, turn with me again. As I said this morning, we're going to be reading out of the Bible muchly. It's Revelation 21, verse 6. Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. It is over. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Now let me tell you, is he your Alpha and Omega? Is he your beginning? Is he your ending? Not mine. Is he yours this morning? Are you saved from yourself? The beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. All things. Not just some. Not what you pick and choose. Not what I pick and choose. But what God has for you. And the Bible said what God has for you right here is all things, saints. But we've got to overcome. We've got to overcome. And there's only one way you can overcome, and that's by the blood of the Lamb. But it's by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it's no longer a blood. This hour, the prophet, Brother Branham identified this and brought this out and revealed this when he preached the token message. It's not literal blood chemistry right now. It's the Spirit, the life that came out of the blood. Well, Brother Bo, are you saying we don't believe in the blood no more? I don't believe in the blood chemistry anymore, as far as I've got to go over in Israel and find out where the puddle of blood was on Mount Calvary, and I've got to try to get down in it and put my hands in it. No. Brother Branham told us, no, don't. He said, Luther and Wesley preached the chemistry of the blood, but in this hour, it is the token is the life that was in the blood. Amen. Saints, that's going to get you overcoming. Amen. That's what's going to get your motors running to overcome in this hour. Amen. This is we've got to have a bride church in this hour that overcomes. Not maybe overcomes. We hope we overcome. I guess I can overcome. The bride church in this hour, the elect lady of grace, she is a church. She is a called out elected body that and who overcomes. Amen. She's the one who overcomes. She is the one that overcomes. Amen. I'm seeing very, very, very small overcoming in people today. Everybody seems to be going back to the world. Lord, have mercy, saints of God. I was talking to a preacher last week, and he said, Brother Bo, I'm out on the field. He said, do you realize what it is? He said, you can't stand behind the pulpit and preach against bobbed-haired women, because message women are bobbing their hair. It's not just kids dressing up for Halloween. It's adults dressing up for Halloween. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking message believers dressing up like Halloween for Halloween. Now notice, I can tolerate Christmas because it has to deal with Jesus. I can tolerate holidays that have to do with Jesus. But there is nothing that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ in Halloween. It is the devil's day. Yeah, this is what's happening, saints. Overcome means, in the Greek lexicon, to conquer to prevail, to get the victory, to carry off the victory, to come off victorious, victorious over all his foes as Christ was. Of Christians, not just Christ now, all your foes that hold fast their faith even unto death against the power of their foes. Temptations, persecutions, when one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case, to maintain one's cause, to be an overcomer, to overcome. You say, Brother Bo, what are you saying? Overcoming is a requirement, saints. It's not an option. Used to be, I think everything comes now with power windows, but used to be probably back in the 80s, you could go, maybe even the 70s, maybe even up in the 90s, you could go to a car dealership and you didn't have to get electric windows. You could get wind down windows. Back in the old days, amen. It's not an option today. Well, I think I'll overcome. Well, you know, I just can't overcome. I'm sorry. No. You need a special power to help you to overcome, and that's called the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, saints, we've got to go down. I've been preaching on a series the last 2 months on the middle of the road. Brother Branham said, we are in the middle of the road. We don't go to the extreme right, neither do we go to the extreme left. Come on now. Because what happens, trash goes off on either side. Amen. And we walk down the middle of the road. Amen. On one side, on the left side, you've got Trinitarianism that break God up into three persons. Then on the other side, on the right side, you got extreme oneness doctrine. Brother Bram said that's just as wrong now. Amen. But notice now, it's the middle of the road, saints. It's the middle of the road with holiness. It's the middle of the road with any kind of thing you approach. It's the middle of the road with the gospel. Does that mean we compromise from both sides? Not hardly, amen? But you walk down the middle of the road. This is what we've got to do. We've got to walk down center path straight on, amen? That way, you'll hit the target. It won't be so far to the left. It won't be so far to the right, amen? You can't legalize holiness, amen, although we do have standards. Or you can't have it on the left side where it's so much of the world, we just don't care. It's got to go right down the middle of the road. Amen. It ain't a gospel as I can, I can, I can, I can, I can't. It's I won't, I won't, I won't. Amen. Well, I can't cut my hair, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. That church says I can't do that. And that. No, it's you won't do it. Amen. That's revelation. A real woman of God's got the Holy Ghost has not one desire to cut her hair. Brother Branham preached a message called How Can I Overcome? He said, we're speaking on overcoming. Listen closely. The word overcome, of course, you know what it means. You've got to have something to overcome. Amen. In this church age that the Holy Spirit was speaking about here, this Laodicean church age, our church age, as we have just been through, needed a rebuking. Now remember, it is the only church age out of the seven that was extremely rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet so religious. Yet so religious. Religious to the quick, saints of God. So religious. But yet so rebuked. Isn't that kind of funny? Isn't that kind of odd? A religious person is so rebuked. That's the ones that are rebuked. I'm not religious. I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual believer. Amen. I'm a message believer, not a message follower. Brother Bram says, notice, Laodicea had to be rebuked because of its difference toward Christ. It had to put Christ outside in the day. It is the only church age that took Jesus and put him outside their church. Again, the only church age that took Jesus and put him outside of the church. Sound awkward? It is. That's why they're rebuked. He said, notice, Christ was on the outside trying to get back in. That's love. After he had been put out of his own house, was trying to come back, and he said, he that opened the door, I'll come into him. The church itself in whole had put him out. But now his call here is not to just the church, but he that overcometh. So Jesus is just not calling the church saints because he's been put out. It's he that overcometh now. That means the elect. Look, foolish virgins is not, I preached last year on another chance. Foolish virgins is not another chance for you. Don't ever get it in your mind that I'll be a foolish virgin, that'll be my second chance or my another chance. No, it won't either. Your another chance is going on right now, and it's he that overcometh. He that, saving yourself from yourself. Notice now. Brother Brown said the church itself in whole had put him out. Notice, here he's not calling just the church. It's he that overcometh, not the church. That she be the church body, but it's he that overcometh, the individual that will overcome. And now Laodicea had it coming to her. Yes, she does. I was reading yesterday, and I brought it to the church last night. Brother Branham, in the early part of 1960, listen to me carefully. Brother Branham said it like this. He was preaching right after Christmas. It was probably January 6th or 7th or 8th. And he was preaching this in 1960. You can pull the tape on it. And he said in paragraph E4, he said, I will have to stand before God at the day of judgment, and people that I preach to will come to me, and I will have to report either bad or good. Well, Brother Bo, that's just the prophet of God. He's the only one going to do it. Every minister, look, everyone that Brother Jerry, everybody that in this church or has come through that Brother Jerry has preached you, he's going to have to give a report. Don't make him give you a bad report. Wait a minute, Brother Bo. Jesus said, the queen of the south shall rise in that day of judgment and condemn this generation. And she's a woman. Wait a minute, hold on. Y'all got something against women doing things like that. But she's a woman. Oh, yes, she's good. Jesus said she is. Brother Branham goes on to say, what is the Queen of South going to say about America? Huh? What's the Queen of South? The Queen of Sheba is her name. What is she going to say when she stands there that day on judgment and America's brought up? Not just her day, in the days of Solomon or the days of Israel's golden days. Remember, David and Solomon was Israel's golden years. When the folks where I am and the folks where I was, I'm going to have to give a report on them to the Lord Jesus on that day. I told him last night, don't make me give you a bad report. Queen of Sheba is going to condemn that generation. Because you know why? A greater than Solomon was there. No, she's not going to condemn Solomon's generation because it was received. But she's going to stand up and reject and condemn the generation that rejected Jesus. And then Brother Branham goes on to say, what will she say when America is brought up and she sees America? This message, folks, are so religious sometimes. So religious. Don't make the Queen of Sheba give you a bad report either. Brother Brown said, I was crossing an old log. How can I overcome the other day? A wash or whatever it is called, a holler. And I jumped on this old log. On the outside, it looked good. It looked like a big old beach log. But when I jumped on it, oh, a great chunk of it fell off. It was real rotten and dirty. I said, that's the way Christians are becoming. Rotten and dirty. They've been dead in sin and trespasses so long till it becomes dirty. They can't hold no weight at all. Saints, when you carry this revealed word of God, it is a weight. Do you realize Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me? Do you realize he spoke more about your cross taking it up than he did his own cross? I told the church this a couple weeks ago. Sometimes the heaviest burden that we got seems not to be lifted. Do you realize that might be your cross to carry? Well, Brother Bo, Jesus said he would carry all our burdens. He would, but sometimes your cross has to be a cross for you, saints of God. Because Jesus said so. Take up your cross. It is a weight. This word of God is heavy to carry. It's revealed to us. It's heavy weight to carry, but we still got to carry it. Don't be so doty, amen, that you can't carry it. Don't hold. Be a man or woman of God that can hold the weight of the world, the weight of the word rather, the weight of the world. Do you know it's only one letter difference between the world and the word? And that is the letter L. You take the word, four letters, W-O-R-D, put an L in there. Put an L in there and you got world. Save yourself from your sin. He said, notice now. Then I begin to think, people don't know what overcoming means. Then I begin to think of the text then, overcome, keep life in you. So overcome is keeping the life of God in you. Listen now. When life went out, that's what brought the log to that condition and made it rot. When its life went out of it, as long as it was part of the vine and part of the branches, it had life in it. But when the life went out, it rotted. See, it made it worse than ever when it laid in the branch where the water was. Now the water is a type of the Holy Ghost. Listen to what I'm going to say. What the prophet of God said. Y'all believe Brother Brown this morning? Anybody got a problem believing Brother Brown this morning? Okay? Anybody got a problem? Let me know. Okay. You take a Christian that's supposed to be a Christian. Now that's a real Christian now. Let the life of God go from him. So let it go from him. And experience the joy of serving Christ. And living in a church where such is going on, he rottens twice as quick. Living right under it. So in other words, if you're in a Holy Ghost filled church without the Holy Ghost, without the life of God, you're rotten quicker. Because you're under the life, but not part of the life. Now the water is a type. Brother Bram said the tree log was laying, the beach log was laying in the water. So it was rotten. Do you realize the Holy Ghost will either mature you and make you what you are supposed to be, or it'll rot you. Don't rot. Don't rot, saints of God. And be right under a Holy Ghost filled ministry. And yet rot because you're not part of that life anymore. We've got to be part. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the. We've got to be part of the Lord Jesus. Do you realize so many people are quoting the message, even preaching the message, and don't have the life of God? People can know this and 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 know this. When we moved 22 years ago, when Sister Joyce and my family, when we moved, we had three kids. When we moved to Dyersburg,
we never
experience such, and Young put this down as history, we never experienced people that knew so much in all our life. I mean, back home, it wasn't that sort of. Everybody knew this. And Sister Joyce says, Brother Bo there? Yeah. Hey, Brother Bo, look, this quote Brother Bram said, look, you're doing this in church, and Brother Bram said we need to do this, and Brother Bram said we need to do this, and Brother Bram said we do this. And Brother Bob said we only need to sing 2 or 3 songs. We only need to preach no more than 30 minutes. And Brother Bob said this, we need to do this, and we none. You don't do that to a man of God. That's not your place. Oh, wait a minute. You're putting the ministry way up here. No, I'm not. I'm putting you in your place and the ministry in its place. And then these folks that did all this, when you put them down to it, do you have the Holy Ghost, brother? No. No, I don't. Does your wife have the Holy Ghost? No. One sister spoke the truth. We had about 120, 125, 130 people when we first moved to Dyersburg. One sister spoke the truth. She said, Sister Joyce and another sister are the only two people in the church that's really got the Holy Ghost. Of course, she said, I didn't. Well, I tell you this, I can't say about the other sister, but I can sure say, thus saith the Lord, when she's talked about my wife. If anybody got the Holy Ghost, she does. Yeah. We can do all that. Brother David, know everything, know every quote backwards and forward, how the church should be run, how should this and that, and then not even have the life of God. That's why they're all rotted over there. When you don't have the life of God generating, and you can know all the quotes. I've been to Branham Tabernacle. Brother Branham shook hands with me. Fine. But is the life of God? Did you shake the life of God's hand yet? You shook the prophet's hand, and that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. Amen. I just pray, you know, whoever he shook got life imparted. But you know, that necessarily don't come that way. It has to come by given by him, not the prophet. Amen. Come on now, say amen. Brother Rand said, when you take a Christian that's supposed to be a Christian, let the life of God go from him and experience the joy of serving Christ. Living right in a church where such is going on, he rottens twice as quick. Living right under it. So if we are trying to follow the message of the hour, or at least part of the message, we should live constantly in the life of Christ. In it. That means in it. In the life of Christ. In the life of Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. In the vine, amen. In the vine, the branches receive the life from the vine. In the vine. Not in the world. In the vine. The world will bring you death. Look, saints, I've told people last night, Facebook is not my Bible. I'm not condemning Facebook. I'm connected to some of you here. I got Facebook. But when I see people on Facebook put over and over and over again, and they only want to come to church once a week, and they post it on Facebook that their family is the most important thing in their life, that is wrong. You love your family. You care for your children 100+. You care for your grandchildren. You do without to give your children many times. You do without to give your grandchildren. But notice, your family is not the most important thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most important thing. I don't mean to forsake your wife. I don't mean to put your wife through a living hell. I don't mean to put your kids and beat them half to death. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about putting God first. I'm talking about not going so right wing or going so left wing. I'm talking about going down the middle of the road. Going down the middle of the road. You've got to put Jesus first. Facebook is not my Bible. This is. Well, you know, Brother Bo, Facebook says to be a, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, just like some kind of garage thing. What's the car in the garage? Y'all read it, I'm sure. That's a lie. True, you can become a Christian right in your own home, but a believer cannot wait to get to the house of God. For the Bible said, neglect not to assemble yourself, even more so as you see the day approaching. And Brother Branham interpreted like that. When you neglect to come to church, you're after the manner of unbelievers, not believers. Well, Brother Bo, I can't get anything out of the service. It's just the same old thing over and over. Same old song, same old song leader, same old preaching, same old this, same old piano playing, same old organ playing, same old drums this way and that way and the other. Well, you know what? You got to make the difference. You got to make the difference. Saints, it's not an abracadabra experience. A preacher just don't stand up here, abracadabra, abracadabra, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy. You make the difference. I told Brother Daniel Gissen down here. He came to our church 3 weeks ago and held a very small revival. It was awesome. And we talked. And I said, you know, it used to be 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that we had to have this certain preacher come. We had to have this certain preacher come. It had to be certain this way. And he had to be so deep. He had to be so revelated. He had to be so awesome. And that would generate a revival. Let me tell you, the greatest revival that you can have is with your local pastor and you yourselves right here without any outside influence. You say, Brother Bo, how do you know? Look, saints, I've been around the block many times. Amen. Well, how old are you? I tell this to people. I don't tell them my exact age. I'm old enough to have a 41-year-old daughter. So I've been around the message block. I've been around quite a few times, and I've seen it. I have experience from the time I was 17 years old. How a local church can have a revival within itself. There's your greatest revival. You don't have to have outside preachers come in. You can have it yourself. I've watched it come and I've watched it go. I watched Satan come in and tear it right away from the people, because you know he's not going to allow a revival. Many times we experience a revival and then we don't want to go on to prevent the revival from being lost. And Satan comes and steals it away. You know why? Because we let him. Brother Ram said here, notice, if you're trying to follow the message of the hour, I'm preaching from How Can I Overcome? Anybody ever heard that message? Anybody ever read the book? Here it is. So if we're trying to follow the message of the hour, at least part of the message, we should constantly live in the life of Christ. Because if we don't, you lay around and you know these things that you're supposed to do and don't do it. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. And he becomes doughty, rotten, when you're supposed to be separated from the love of God, the life of God. So strive with all your heart in you to stay in the life of Christ, that you would be fruit bearing. He said, now notice, that's the only way you'll overcome. The only way. It's all that under the shed blood is overcomers, because you cannot overcome yourself. It's he that overcomes for you. So you've got to be a part of him so that he generates the power and the motive and objective to overcome for you. Since you can't, Laodicea, you cannot overcome Laodicea itself. You cannot. Jesus said, you cannot do anything without me. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Am I quoting the word properly? Is that what Jesus said? Look, saints, I believe in the knowledge of this word. I believe in the revelation. I believe in quotes. I believe in the scriptures. I believe that it's nothing but. But notice, it's a love affair. It's a relationship. It's being in the arms of the Lord Jesus. You can know this message backwards and forwards. Quote it to better than I can, but not be in the arms of Jesus. That's only knowing. Paul said, I can know all the mysteries. And believe me, this message will tell you the mysteries.
This message will tell you things as never other message has ever said. But to go along with all that, it's just not knowledge, wisdom, and mysteries, but it's the Lord Jesus, his love, and feeling that. Look, Mary Magdalene was a woman possessed with seven devils. She's the first one that saw him resurrected. Brother Branham names those devils she had. It's not necessarily, the scripture does not record, it's not that Jesus' great knowledge and the depth of his sermon impressed her so much. But it was the love that he had for her. And that love, she saw that love and felt that love that he had for her. Then it became that love that she had for him. History says, Josephus says, that when Jesus was in Pilate's hall, and they were screaming, "Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas." They said Mary was standing out in the front there, Mary Magdalene, screaming, "No, no, no, give us Jesus." And it said the priests came and hit her so hard, hit her in the mouth. Blood was coming out. She was screaming for her Lord. She was screaming. Not for the one that gave her so much knowledge, although he did. But he gave her something that she could save herself from. Save yourself this morning, saints, from yourself. From yourself. Because yourself will lead yourself to destruction. If you don't save yourself from yourself. Brother Bram said, "The marriage of the Lamb," this is my last quote. Musicians, you can come. If you notice, she has made herself ready. So many says, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking, from gambling, from lying, from stealing, then I'll serve him. But that's up to you. You got to do something too. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome, you have the power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. She made herself ready. I like that word. You see, God could not push us through a little pipe and pull us out on the other side. But he said, "Blessed is he that overcometh." You had to do something to overcome. He just didn't push you through. You've got to do it to make decisions for yourself. So God is waiting for your soul, which is free moral agency, to make the decision. Here's where decisions come in. I realize predestination is predestination. But also, amen, you will make the decision if you're really predestinated. So claim your predestination this morning and make your decision, saints of God. It may be your last time.
Exactly. You walk out of here and get killed.
I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respect to God. You are your biggest enemy. The biggest enemy you got is yourself. The biggest enemy I got is William Branham.
Amen.
William Branham was his biggest enemy. Yes, he had his own will, and that will had to be crucified to the will of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He's always in my way, William Branham. He's always in God's way, I'll say. He's always gets in God's way. He's too tired. He don't want to do this. He don't want to do that. If I could just crucify that God, God can use it. God can use this body, use this microphone. The biggest enemy here is yourself. Save yourself from yourself this morning. May we stand. I believe we've got to have him more than ever, saints. If you ever needed the Lord before, you surely do need him now. I get so tired of hearing, well, I've worked all day, Brother Bo. I'm just too tired to come to church. And I've got this to do this evening. I got that to do this evening. I got that to do this evening. I've got this. I just can't come to church anymore. I understand we got things to do, but here's the thing. You got to put your priorities in perspective. And you got to put God first. I told the people last night, I said, Lord, have mercy. When we first came to the message and we lived back in Baltimore, we were shallow. Brother Paul, we were shallow as branch water. All we knew was God sent a prophet, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. We believed it. We believe Brother Branham was that one. We believe Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7, Matthew 17, 11. We believed in the Godhead. It wasn't three persons. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. We believed in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, come out of her, my people. Amen. We wanted to be free from any kind of denominational influence. Now that I realize we here today would say that's as shallow as branch water. But we back then, we talked about it last week. We talked about it last week when we were up there. We talked about it last week. We could not wait to get to church. We went to church three times a week. Services were 2, 3, 4 hours most of the time back in those days. We got buku money, all of us here. Go out to eat and spend $7, $8, $9, $10, $11, $12, $13, $14 on a meal. We used to pull little kids in the church that I grew up with, we'd pull our change together so that we could go to Burger King and get a little burger. And then on Sunday afternoon after church, Ponderosa, y'all remember, some of you old timers remember Ponderosa was big in those days. And you could get for $1.09. $1.19, you get a ribeye. You got a little bowl of salad. You had to pay 3 cents or 4 cents for your roll or 5 cents for your roll. A pat of butter was 2 cents, then you had to buy your drink. But anyway, we would save up for that, just for that. So I'm wondering today, were we so shallow back then? No. Oh no, we didn't know the depths of the word. We didn't know the opening of. We didn't know this thunder revelation. We didn't know the seals and things like that. The great opening of the seventh seal in the threefold manner. And Brother Brown said it goes up like a rocket. And it opens up and it opens up and it opens up. No, we didn't know that. But we had a desire to serve God and to please God. So were we then, Brother Paul, so shallow then? I'm wondering now that we have so much. The table is spread in a 7-course meal. This message is not rabbits. As in Luther's day, but it's a 7-course. We've got this table spread before us. But are we eating from it? I wonder. Brother and sister, put me in a key of G. Let's just sing this chorus. Come and dine. Oh, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Oh, he who's fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Amen. You got a need from the Lord this morning, saints of God. He's willing to meet your need. Amen. Do you want to be that overcomer this morning? Amen. Well, I think so, Brother Bo. I don't know. I got so much going on right now. Saints, make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. God is obligated to make you the overcomer. Amen. He has promised to make us overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. By his life, by his virtue, by his power. Amen. He has gone more than enough. He has shown us more than enough to be us an overcomer in this hour. You who fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. Do the hungry call it now. Come and dine. Oh, come and dine. The master call it, come and dine. He who feasts at Jesus' table all the time. You got to feast at the table now. Oh, he who fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Oh, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. With his manna he does feed, and he supplies every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Oh, he who feasts at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Oh, soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever by his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. It will be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. Oh, yes, come and dine. The master call it, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Oh, you fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. You the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Listen to this. The song said, all the saints in spotless white. Last week we were talking, my former pastor and I, he's 83 years old. We were back in Pennsylvania last week talking. And he said, you know, Bo, the bride is in white. Amen. But her robe, she is adorned in white linen. The foolish virgins get white robes, but it's not linen. The bride is adorned in white. They're spotless white, but linen. Linen is special and greater even more than a cotton one is. When you wear linen, they say, and you sweat, it's no show of it. It's just different. This is what the bride gets. Her robe is pure white, but it's of white linen. Amen. Think about it this morning. God bless you, saints. Amen. Good to be with you. Again, Sister Joyce and I extend our sympathy, condolences to the Browning family, to the Moran family. And if Brother Dale Potter's family were here now, we would do the same. Sister Katie, Lord, I believe Brother Dale had about 9 kids in his family, and I'm sure they're sure missing him. The word was that he was in South Carolina preaching last Sunday, and he preached at a church in Anderson, South Carolina, and he preached the morning service, and then they came back for evening service, and he went to go out to his car to get something out of the car. Fell over with a heart attack dead. Isn't it amazing? They cremated his body down there in South Carolina and then took the ashes and brought it to Tennessee. Poor fellow, maybe not had burial insurance. I realize many people are getting cremated today. That's a family's option. I don't particularly agree with it. Because everywhere in the scriptures, a real believer, Old Testament and New, they were always buried, not cremated. But anyway, sometimes that has to be because there's just not funeral insurance or money to do something like that. But at any rate, we know where he is now. This earthly tabernacle is dissolved in ashes, but he's in his new home now. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Oh my, how great that is. Brother Nathan, God bless you.
This thing I've got so much to thank him for. D.
Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. And when I think of all he's done, and that where he's brought his love, I've got so much.
Time to have a